All right, guys, we should probably get this party started, huh? All right. All right, Gospel John. We got some fun stuff to cut. Well, I find it
intriguing.
Actually, very encouraging. John chapter 18. Find my notes here. All right, John chapter 18. We're going to key in, guys, tonight on verses 37 through 40. But let's start reading from verse 28. Okay? So, Raj, if I can start with you, we'll go 28 through 40. Okay, well, I know it's a little, whoever wants to read, just read. We'll just try to kind of keep going, zigzagging through. We'll get through here. So, John 18, beginning in verse 28.
And then led Jesus from Caiaphas into the,
I say Praetorium.
Praetorium. And it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the Praetorium, so that they would not be defiled, but might eat Passover.
Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?"
Go ahead, Brad.
They answered and said to him, "If this man were not a mean doer, we would not have delivered him up to you."
Talia, go ahead. You have a custom that I should release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the King of the Jews? Therefore they cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Yeah, I'm going to throw this out here tonight, right off the bat. I am really thankful for you guys to bring your kids. I know there's a stretch in there. There's sometimes that stretch can be a number of years that moms, you might not get a lot out of stuff because you're always watching your kids, but it's a kingdom first mentality your kids pick up on, and the rest of us, anybody who has a kingdom first mentality is going to be glad that you're here with your kids. So even if they can be a little bit of distraction in and out, we are thankful. Very, very thankful. Some of you guys, I remember Ricky's mom actually recently was telling me her dad got immersed in the Church in Christ in California, but the place is literally, it's dying. Like, they're all older people, and like, everybody's dying off in the church. So I'm thankful. So if you if your kids distract you, or if you as the rest of us sometimes, it's a good problem to have. That's all. Just want to tell you guys I'm glad you're here. All right. What sort of things from 37 through 40? We covered the last time, or 37 somewhat the last time, but it's fair game tonight because we're going to go back and hit some stuff. 37 through 40, what sort of things jumped out at you guys? Beautifully said. I was going to say blurs the lines, but you know, you're right. It hides it. It's swept. You know, I think it was Winston Churchill, and he talked about in wartime, but I think he said in wartime, truth is so valuable that it's barricaded behind a bodyguard of lies. And I think that we're in spiritual war. And Satan is a liar, and to get to the truth, you got to usually fight through all those lies. So, amen. Yep.
The end of verse 37. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Like, know him.
Yes.
Yeah. What is of him?
There's another place where he talks about his sheep hear his voice, right? Earlier, it's same idea, but I like the way he said this. Everybody who's of the truth hears my voice, and we're going to actually work on that concept tonight a little. That's going to be a lot of our scriptures we look at, because it gives me confidence in God, gives me confidence when I go to take the message, and gives me confidence like the truth seekers are going to, the Lord's going to bring them in. So. God is sifting. That's good. That's a great pickup. Anything else? Yeah, I was born for this. I think there's some popular song out right now that says something like that in it.
Carlton.
Huh?
I was made for this.
Oh, I was made for this?
Carlton.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but Jesus, yeah, I was born for this. And guys, I think as new creatures, we want to remember that, right? We were, we've been born again for, born from above. We are born for this, to bear witness to the truth. Maybe there's one other kind of cool thing if you think about it. The very end of this, it might not be normally what you'd pick up. You know, Pilate had a custom, political custom, to keep everybody happy. Hey, this time of year we release somebody for you. So he gives two choices, right? Okay, do you want to release Barabbas? Who was Barabbas, guys? What kind of guy was Barabbas? What did you say? Yeah, he's a robber. What?
No good.
No good. He was. Looks to me like he was the ringleader of these guys that had committed insurrection in the city. Okay. I think somebody got a Bible search engine on him? Does the scripture, like Bible Gateway or something on your phone, you can check something out real quick? Bradshaw? Oh. Oh. Okay. Can you check it out? Can you type in murderer? For some reason, my brain wants to say in one place Barabbas is called a murderer. Is that right, Rich? Yeah, somebody look that up while we'll keep talking. So, but this is actually an interesting thing. So, you know, you think about it. Pilate thinks he's going to, hey, what's the trade-off? Who's gonna want a murderer running loose in their city? I'm going to mute this for just a second. Sorry for people that are listening online. I will be back.
So in our theme, in our neighborhood, we have some nice drug dealers. I don't know if they're nice. And I just tell my kids, like, you just pretend like you don't see anything. Like, you just are better. Like, you just lay as low as possible. You pretend like you don't notice anything. You pretend like you don't see anything. You don't go turn them in. Like, that's somebody else's responsibility. Like, you just, like, but who wants that in their neighborhood?
Well, when you think about it, so you're given the opportunity. Do you want this murderer, this robber, this leader of the insurrection? Or do you want this guy, Jesus, and Pilate says, I find no guilt in this guy. You would think the crowd's going to say, well, release for us Jesus. Of course, these guys already had it set up. They anticipated that, so they already had some plans in the crowd to say Barabbas, and then pretty soon everybody's picking up on that. Did you come up with it, Rich? Thank you. So Luke's account tells you insurrection in the city and for murder. So Barabbas is a bad news dude. Okay, Brad.
Well, what's interesting too, they were saying he was an evil.
Right.
And that's what this character
is. Exactly. They said he's an evildoer, he's basically creating riots, all this stuff. And this is a beautiful thing, Brad. Thank you for pointing that out, because there is a big picture thing here. Do you guys realize what happened? Jesus took the place of the guy who deserved to die. Anybody make the connection? It's kind of a hidden thing, but it's cool when you think about it. Like, that's what Jesus has done for all of us. So we'll get into this a little more details here. I think one of the great questions of people when you come to a recognition of God and who He is, and maybe even of His Word, there's a question sometimes: is God fair? Like, I ask myself that. And honestly, this is one of the most challenging. There's a couple things we're going to look at. One of the scriptures in particular is the most difficult passage in the scripture for me to want to fight. There's a part of me that wants to fight it, to be honest with you. So the question comes up, is God fair? We're challenging God's justice, and there's some places that say, hey, you don't have a right to do that. I understand that. I really do. But the question comes up sometimes nonetheless. One thing about it, God is very clear. There is salvation only one way. That's something that, the whole question of what is truth, Rich. The world fights against that so bad. And they've stirred the pot, muddied the pot, and tried to, we talked about that last week in our group, make people believe that there are no absolutes. There's no such thing as truth. And yet, we see John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Pretty exclusive. And so that question can come up, is God fair? Jump over with me to Acts chapter 4. We're not answering that question yet, but just establishing still what God says here. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I might randomly pick people to read here for me. Caleb Goal, I liked your deep voice there. Can you get Acts 4:12? Yeah.
And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
This is talking about Jesus the Christ, the Nazarene. It says there is salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Scripture's clear. It's Jesus. Only through Jesus that this is going to happen. You guys remember Acts chapter 17? Paul at the Areopagus, Mars Hill. And he's kind of, he starts off, they're worshiping all these different idols, and they have one that's to an unknown God, and Paul uses that to say, hey, what you guys have been worshiping in ignorance, let me tell you about. And so he lays out the case and kind of comes down the point like, hey guys, think about this. God made man, man didn't make God. You're not going to be making an image. Like, that's not God. God made you. That's my very loose paraphrase. And so then he comes to this and he says, you know, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Paul just said, hey, the times of ignorance are past. There are no more excuses. So, have you ever been asked this question or had yourself ask this question? Well, what about people that have never heard? What about people in the far back jungles of Africa? What about people in some of the inner city places in the U.S.? You know, hey, what's the situation? What's the standing of these people? God says, times of ignorance are past. God's declaring to men all everywhere should repent. Right.
They've all had a case. Somehow, somewhere, you look at a lot of different religions and even writings or fantasy books and stuff like that. And they've all got that hint of a creator.
Sure. Yeah.
And the thing is, I agree with God totally. You know, ignorance is no excuse. And I think people just either they don't want to know, they're too busy with their lifestyle, and they put themselves above God.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to look at some scriptures on part of what you talked about. Some of it is definitely true. Like, just big picture, I'll just hit this because we weren't going to hit it, but it, you brought it up, it's worth... Like, God hasn't left Himself without witness, has He? Like, just the creation itself, anybody that's being honest and thinking comes to realization, there has to be a God. So that gets us that far. And then the question is, are you going to pursue this? Are you going to think about it? Are you going to, what are you going to do with it? Not to mention the fact that we all have a conscience that's built into us. No matter what, like there's something that's hardwired in, you know, a law, whether it's written on tablets of stone or whether it's just written there on the heart or on the mind from the beginning, it's there. There's some things that make anybody, again, that's being honest, like, okay, we got to think about this. There's scriptures that do say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I think both Isaiah and Hosea say that. But then both of them go on and say, because they have rejected knowledge. So, lots of times it's not that people don't know, it's they've chosen not to know. But there are, you know, I think sometimes you have to look and say, well, China. I had a conversation with a gal from China on the airplane few Philippines trips ago, the middle of the night. I had a great conversation. She chose not to follow up with me. Okay. So, but we had a great conversation. But in China, the reality of it is that society, it is programmed out of them. So societies sometimes, like Rich was talking earlier, like you talk about hiding the truth, man. Some of these places, like they hide the truth. Yep. They censor a lot. They censor a lot of information. Even it's not even allowed to flow in that country. And so, so the point I'm a lot of, and unfortunately, you get a lot of false doctrine too. So you know, sometimes for me, I start saying, "Well, is God fair? Like, if somebody really wants to know." And so I want to pursue that line of it a little bit tonight from the scriptures. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I do agree with you, Brad, by the way. God is just. And I like how you said, I agree with God. That's what I come back to. Yeah, I read the book of Revelation sometimes and I'm like, yeah, God's just in why everything he does. Like, God gives people opportunities and they don't choose to follow. He's just. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think you guys are familiar with this. Let's just pick it up in the middle here of verses 7 through 9. Rich, would you, it's the middle of a verse, but would you do 7, or middle of a sentence, I'm sorry, would you do 7 through 9? 2 Thessalonians 1.
Give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, and the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Okay, verse 8. It's a thumper. Okay? Who's God going to punish? Who's Jesus going to punish when he comes again? There are two groups. I'll give you that hint. Somebody give me one group. Those who don't know God. Okay, what's the other group? Those who don't obey the gospel of... How does he say that? The gospel of our Lord Jesus. Okay? So, to me, okay, don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, that kind of implies like they've heard it and they chose not to obey. That's a pretty easy one for me to swallow. Like, Dad says, do this, and you didn't do it, you're going to get punished for it, right? For me, it's the do not know God sometimes that my mind wants to say, but is that fair? And that gets back to some of the things you were talking about, Brad. There is a responsibility on the individual to pursue this. God does put that in there. But let's talk about the character of God for a second. Okay, when people bring up hypotheticals, okay, like if somebody is in the jungles of Africa and they can't and they want to know, but nobody comes and tells them, nobody... Let's just talk about what we know about God. Okay, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Nikki, could you get that one? Yeah. 2 Peter 3, 9.
The Lord is not slow about his promise, his uncount slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance.
God's not wishing for any to perish, is he? He wants all to come to repentance. So, I think this is an important point, guys. God is not interested in trying to keep people out of heaven. God's trying to help people make it to heaven. And when you think about God sending his son, if God did not spare his own son, he was willing to deliver him up and put him through all the things that Jesus went through. Do you think if there's somebody who's interested in the dark jungles of Africa that God can make sure there's somebody that's going to end up there? I kind of joke around about this, but Steve Doty's on one of his flights somewhere and the plane goes down and he ends up, you know, out there in the... Sorry, Steve, but... You know, whatever God's plan is, but God has a way of making sure if somebody has an if somebody wants to hear, they're going to have an opportunity to hear. This verse that we started from, this premise, she said, everybody who is of the truth hears my voice. God's going to give people an opportunity. Now, that's God's love. Okay? And we know... There's a bunch of scriptures that talk about that. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 talks about how God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 talks about the kindness of our God and his love for mankind appeared. So, you know, we know John 3, 16, for God so loved the world. Like in that passage we looked at from Acts 17, or I mentioned, God's fixed a day in which he's going to judge the world. You know, God's declaring to all everywhere now that they should repent. You've probably heard me preach on that before. I call that God's double dog dare to the world. Like the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Like, you got to deal with this. He puts it out there. And if you decide, you blow it off, you don't pursue that, you don't check it out, you just... And it's interesting, actually, when Paul finishes that message, there's three responses. There's some people who basically say, this guy's full of baloney. There's some people who say, hey, well... we'll hear you again concerning this. Like, maybe come back in a week or 2 years or, you know. And then there's some people who believe and follow. But actually, I was studying with a lady one time, and her boyfriend at the time, he's gone on to become a Christian, and she totally flaked out. But she said it, she had a good example. She was like, man, I think about it like, you know, you guys seen chess, where the chess clock, you know, the competitive chess, and like, you move, and then there's the clock, and the other person has so much time to make a move. So basically, God raised Jesus from the dead. He hit the clock and said, your move. What you going to do about that? Hey, you got to make a move. Hey, to ignore it, you lose. To walk away in unbelief, you lose. To bow down before Jesus as Christ, that's the way you win. But God's put it out there. His love is there. He does love mankind. He loves every individual soul. He gives that opportunity. But there is responsibility of man. Brad.
Well, I think good example, like for somebody that's in Africa or something like that. Like the conversion of something, like, for one thing, you know, I mean, that man knew that there was something, you know, greater than man.
Mm-hmm.
And God recognized that.
Yeah.
And God sent somebody.
Great point.
And
Ethiopian eunuch's another great example. Here's a guy that's diligently like checking out the scriptures but doesn't have a clue what it says. And hey, just so happens, right? Just so happens. Let's talk about that just so happens. I'm speeding this up a little just because I'm looking at the time. But the just so happens is interesting. There's a responsibility on every individual to pursue God. But you know, 2 Thessalonians 1 does something to me too. Motivates me, like, I want to tell people. You know, Rich, when you were saying the like truth is just swept under. You know what I think my job sometimes, the picture I get is like I'm here just like rip up the rug. Like that's our job. We were born for this. To bear witness to the truth. Let's pull that rug up and like people can. Mark Taylor one time years ago said it in a prayer and it's always stuck with me that we would put truth back into the marketplace of ideas. It's like that's our mission. So, but I am motivated by that because there are people who I love and care about, and you know, usually if I haven't met you yet, once I meet you and know you, now I love you and I care about you. Like I gotta tell. And so, you know, I hope this encourages all of us. There's people you know that don't know the truth. Like, who's going to tell them if you don't? Now, yes, there's some responsibility on them. And that doesn't mean everybody you don't have to have a Bible study with, because a lot of people deny long before that. You know, you have the spiritual conversations and they just, it's like the seed sown, it bounces off their forehead, right? But we got to have the courage. And I also want to encourage you guys, when you're having Bible studies and stuff with people, don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. Nobody likes to put somebody on the spot. But you have to. You got to tell the truth. This barricade of lies that's out there, we got to rip it down. And that truth sometimes exposes our hearts. You know, that's what it does. Expose everybody's hearts for where it is. But man, everybody who's of the truth hears my voice, Jesus said. Man, that gives me confidence. Okay. So, and the cool thing is, there's a connection. And that connection that God makes, Brad, I like the example you used, whether it be Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, or Peter and Cornelius, the connection happens when those who are looking for truth come into contact with those who are messengers of God taking the truth. Here's the challenge. We don't know which ones are looking for truth. So we tell everybody. You know, Billy, your coworker, who wants, like, is she really a truth seeker? I don't know, but somewhere you got a chance, like, hey, here's an opportunity, right? And God, guys, I want to remind us of this too. have you ever noticed any Bible study I've ever had with somebody who's become a Christian, God was working in their lives long before I got to show up on the scene. Like, the Lord is always working. And sometimes I hit people and they're not interested, and then later, something happened that made them. It was like an opportunity God gave them to look to Him, and now they're open. So, God's the one who's able to make those connections. And like I said, the one who didn't spare His own Son, He's interested in everybody making it. Let's talk a little bit about Barabbas here. And just even with Pilate, the whole way this went down, John doesn't give you a lot of the details. But you actually look through, so like John just calls Barabbas a robber. But when you look at Luke's account, hey, he led an insurrection in the city and he's a murderer. Like, John's just using the general term, he's a criminal. Okay, Luke's giving you more specifics. So John is really quick on the way this, on what happens. But the rest of the gospel accounts, you put them together, Jesus was on trial. Annas, Caiaphas, over to Herod. From Herod, no, wait a second. Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate. When Pilate found out Jesus was a Galilean, he's like, oh, hey, he sends him over to Herod. Herod sends him back. Jesus sends him back to Pilate. So this is the bounce around that's happening. Because Pilate doesn't want to deal with this. He knows. Actually, the scripture says, let me see if I can find the verse here. Why am I not seeing it? The reference. I'm missing it, but one of the Gospels specifically says Pilate knew it was because of envy. It was because of envy that they had delivered him up. So Pilate knows, like, he sees what's going on. And so I find no guilt in this guy. We know his wife, she has a dream, you know, all this stuff taking place in the background. But the Jewish leaders, like, they're not going to give up on this. They're going to keep pushing. And so Pilate, as a responsibility he had as governor, was basically to keep the peace. Okay? But let's just put it this way. The Romans allowed a lot of self-government as long as you paid your taxes. Okay. I think I mentioned before, some of you guys, if you haven't seen the old movie Ben-Hur, it is worth a watch. And you get a little picture of that. Like, you know, hey, as long as everybody behaves, we're fine. The Roman soldiers are marching in the streets to let you know if you don't behave, things aren't fine. But they liked it when everybody just behaved. So Pilate would just as soon have everybody, like, just let this thing blow over. Chief priests, the rulers of the Jews aren't letting it. So Pilate's got to deal with it. It's the long and the short of it. But he had some things built in to try to keep people happy. Like, hey, you know, they had bread and circuses and this. Well, oh, hey, guys, at this time of year, at this feast, I always release somebody for you. Who do you want turned loose? Like, you can have one of yours back. And even that, as we talked about before, from a Pilate perspective, it backfires. What's thinking?
I mean, like he said, I washed my hands of this stuff. He threw it on them.
Yeah.
He said, you want Barabbas back? There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And after that, he realized, like, I don't have a choice. So, hey, real quick, you guys fill this gap in for me, because I'm talking the whole time up here. Before the chief priests, remind me, how was Jesus charged guilty? Before the chief priests, what did they get him on? What charge did they get him on? Did they get him on that he told people not to pay taxes? They tried to get him on the false charges. One of the charges was, hey, this guy said he's going to destroy the temple and raise it, you know, he's trying to destroy the temple. But even in that, their testimony wasn't consistent. What is the one that stuck? before the chief priests. Helena. He calls himself the Son of God. Blasphemy! Sorry, Beth. Okay. Ripped her off! They've dealt that! What do you guys think? He's deserving of death, right? Now, I mentioned this, but not everybody's been in my group. Okay, before Pilate, is the charge that Jesus claims to be the Son of God, is that going to stick? Is that going to hold any weight? Is that going to cause any problems before Pilate? No. This is the Roman, if you know anything about, you know, Roman mythology and their God, like, gods can come down and be a man. Sure, why not? So what are they going to, what's the charge that's going to stick before Pilate? He says he's a king. The king of the Jews. So now, after this comes up, they want Barabbas. He claims to be a king. Now Pilate says, fine, I can't, there's no way out for this politically. Washes his hand and says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. And they say, oh, his blood be on us, on our heads and the heads of our children. Oh, I'm not in John at all. So let's just key in on Barabbas the last couple minutes here. Kevin had said Barabbas' name means, and you can actually hear it. So, like, you guys ever read Simon Bar-Jona, for example? Bar always means son, right? Son of Simon, son of John, or son of Jonah. Okay? That's what that bar means. Well, Barabbas, anybody ever hear we might say Abba? What's Abba mean? Father. So Barabbas means son of the Father. Kevin pointed that out. This name, Barabbas, son of the Father, he's being released where the real son of the Father is taking the place on the cross. It's kind of interesting pickup that I never noticed. We already said Barabbas is guilty. He's a murderer. Jesus is going in his place. We can make a little connection there. One other thing I found interesting. How many criminals were crucified with Jesus that day? Three. And you ever thought about two others, right? Three total. But you ever, like, you guys see the pictures? Like, how do they kind of show those? Kind of a triangular shaped thing almost, right? So there can be a conversation, like, amongst them. And Jesus is always the one in the middle, isn't he? And the scripture says he was crucified between a couple thieves. And they obviously are being able to have a conversation. Jesus is the middleman too. Think about that. It's just interesting to me, really, the little things all the way around. But let's wrap this up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I guess a couple things I want us to walk out of here with tonight. Guys, God isn't just fair. He's more than fair. He's merciful. If he was wanting to just fry people in hell, he could have done it up to everybody and never sent Jesus. He's looking for people who want truth. And there is great confidence. Everybody who's of the truth hears my voice. God's made his voice known. One of the ways he makes his voice known is through us. So, hey, let's do our part. And then the other thing I want us to remember is what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Brad, do you read that? 2 Corinthians 5, 21.
He made them who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God.
So when Pilate decided to deliver Jesus up, how's it say this here? Okay, it doesn't say those words there. But so Pilate, Barabbas is released, and Jesus is handed over. Guys, Barabbas wasn't the only one released. Anybody? He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteous of God in Him. Aren't you thankful for what Christ has done? Take your place. Take my place. So we can be in fellowship with God. You know, the... Anybody ever hear Jeremy Camp's song, "Would You Take the Place of This Man"? I understand the point of it, and it's kind of like, it's catchy, and you think, yeah, if I could, I would. Guys, none of us can take the place of this man. He took our place because that was the only way it could be done. And I'm thankful for that. So, let's have an attitude of gratitude. Let's remember why I was born for this. Bear witness to the truth. Pull that rug up. Like, hey, surprise, what's under it? But it's good, right? It's good stuff. Caleb, would you pray for us tonight, bud?
Sure.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this good day you've given us, and thank you that we can come here every Wednesday night to study your word, and I pray that we'll take the good things we've learned and apply them to our lives, and that we will do better and better for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.